The Lord may be graciously pleased to help us as you turn again to the prophecy of Isaiah. And we are considering today chapter 12. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 12. And as we read the first three verses this morning, I'll read the last three verses this afternoon. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out, and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Those who were not here this morning, not listening, we considered this chapter in the light of the gospel and the conversion of men and women to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The time when the Lord, or the day when the Lord would appear unto them and make known unto them his great salvation, turning away the fierceness of his anger, being pacified toward them through the merits of his only beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the declaration that the soul is able to say through these experiences, behold, God is my salvation. Behold, I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Those that put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ have a confidence, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit of the living God. A confidence which gives them a strength beyond their nature. We have seen in past times how that those that were persecuted, those that became martyrs for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in all points are like us, flesh and blood, and no doubt they had their many fears and their temptations, and yet a boldness, a courage was given unto them in the face of adversity to stand for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to declare what he had done for their never dying souls. And they could not deny that name which is above every name. But even though put to death for Christ and for the gospel's sake, yet marvelously in the midst of the flame or torture or whatever it might have been, they were able still to praise God and give thanks unto God that he has preserved them and did preserve them and would preserve them to the very end of their lives. So it is a strength that the world, of course, cannot understand. It puts a strength in a horse or in a mule. It puts strength in the physique of mankind, and they do not understand the Christian. They consider him to be all weakness. But when we think of the opposition, when we think that it is but a remnant of the whole nation or of the whole world that profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no small thing to stand firm upon what we believe, and that we cannot be hustled out of our faith. For we are given a strength, I say, we're made strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're able to face all things for the gospel's sake. And so the Lord Jehovah is the one who gives us that strength. The Lord Jesus Christ puts his strength within us that we may be enabled to resist the devil, that we may be able to overcome our foes, and that we might conquer at last. As he has triumphed over sin and death and hell, so his people also will at length do the same. But not only has Jehovah or Jesus become our strength, he also has become our song. We sing of him. We have a voice of melody within our hearts, in praises unto our God. Sing unto the Lord a cheerful song. Sing unto the Lord, O ye nations of the earth, for he hath done marvelously. Do you have a song in your heart toward the Lord? Can you recount anything of his former mercies toward you? Can you rejoice in your spirit in the Lord's gracious work within your heart? This is the voice then of true Christianity. It is the voice of a Christian who is able to bring forth the melody unto the Lord. And we read in one of the Psalms of the harp and of the cornet, of the trumpet, of the organ, and all manner of instruments. Psalm 150 is a marvelous climax to that theme. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And so there is not forced and not dragged, as it were, from us, but instantaneously, without a forethought, words and music perhaps come into our minds. We are able to sing, whether we're alone or in company, or wherever it might be, to sing praises unto our Lord. He also is become my salvation. In verse 2, the beginning, there is a great statement, God is my salvation. And now, he also is become my salvation. Salvation was accomplished really in eternity past. Practically, it was accomplished when the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for his friends and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. But we think also of salvation future. Our deliverance from this world and from sin and death and hell. To be saved is to look to the Saviour. He also, Christ also, is become my salvation. Everything then is centred in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all and in all. This Bible is a book which testifies of him. Christ Jesus written upon every page. And so we find the glorious theme of salvation throughout the Word of God. And we shouldn't be surprised to find it in the Old Testament. That Isaiah was obviously given by the Spirit of God a foresight into what Christ would come and do. And so we also have a foresight, if we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he is able to do in bringing us to glory. There the fullness of our salvation will truly be made known. Then will we be able to sing in a clearer tongue, and to a greater degree, the songs of Zion. Oh, do we love to sing our praises unto our heavenly King. Do we love to rejoice in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he our song? He giveth songs in the night, we're told. And sometimes in the night, when we awake from our sleep, to think upon him, to rejoice in him, to magnify and glorify his great and holy name. He also is become my salvation. And so verse 3 follows on rightly from verse 2. Therefore, because of this, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. What a beautiful picture and illustration is set before us here. Apart from air, water is the greatest commodity that man stands in need of. And when we think of the desert regions of Arabia, etc., these travellers that had to travel vast distances, and one can consider when they come to a well and found the well was empty. What despair must have filled their hearts and minds there. Israel, when they came to the bitter waters of Marah and were unable to drink, what disappointment, because they knew without this life-giving stream, they must eventually die. We stand in need of water. Think of a city that the water supply is cut off. How desperate will be the condition of that city. Think of sailors upon a ship where the water has run out. What desperation there will be. And so water is essential to life. And the water here speaks both of Christ and of the Holy Spirit. To draw then waters out of the well of salvation. And it is, as you will notice, with joy. Having been converted, having been made new creatures in Christ Jesus, there is that desire in the heart to know him and to understand him more. And so there is a drawing from the well of Holy Scriptures. We can read the Word of God and pass over many, many things. But when there's a given a real interest that we might find the Lord Jesus Christ, his works and his ways, seek his direction or seek some help, some blessing from God, there is a real search. Searching the Scriptures. For these are they, said he, which testify of me. And so it is with joy. This is not a duty. It's not even a performance. It's not something that we're forced into doing. It is joyfully that we search these Scriptures out. For here there are blessings contained. Here are many promises given. Here there is an interest for the regenerated soul. He desires to know more of the things of God. Here is something that cannot be exhausted, something that will be his employ throughout all time, even unto eternity. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And you notice the word wells is put in the plural. What about the preaching of the gospel? What do we think of that? What heed do we give to the word of God spoken to us by God's servants whom he has raised up for that very purpose? Here is a well that we may partake of. Here the Lord gives the preaching of the gospel to which we are freely able to attend. How many reject this well and turn aside and have no desire for its contents? But the person who is truly exercised by the Spirit of God will draw all that they can from the blessed word that God enables his servants to speak. The opening up of the scriptures, the understanding of the doctrines of God's holy word. The Lord has given us a great aid in this respect, that he raises up those whom he teaches, that they might teach the people, instructors in the pathway of righteousness. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now you'll notice that they are wells of salvation, not just rivulets or streams or even rivers. We know, living here as we do, that much water comes from the snow in the mountains, which melts and flows freely through the land. But these streams can dry up and sometimes do dry up. But here is a source which is infallible, which will never dry up. It's ever there, because here is the fountain of living waters. And I say that fountain of living waters is to be found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. See how he declares unto his people in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And then at the close of the scriptures, we have, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Whosoever will. We have to be made willing. We don't naturally have a willingness to partake of the wells of salvation. But when we have been given that of the Spirit of God, a living desire, then this well of salvation is as necessary or even more necessary to us than the water that we have so freely available to us. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth," says the prophet, "come ye to the waters." Do we thirst after the living God? Are we seeking to drink of these wells of salvation? A drinking to a full draught, a full measure of what is available to us? And is it not with joyfulness, having known that God is our salvation, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of our souls, then to freely rejoice in that which he has given us, and we are able to freely partake of these things. We are given a will to desire to drink of the wells of salvation. Another well we might mention is that of prayer, and how joyful it is to come before our God, to make mention of his holy name, and to seek help of the Spirit of the living God, to come before him and seek his grace and his favour. How many blessings are poured out to the child of God upon his request at the mercy seat, to cry and shout aloud for those things that we stand in need of, and to prove Christ's grace sufficient for us. That the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrows thereto. Therefore, because of this, because God is become our salvation, then that desire is within our hearts, a longing for the things of God. And you may have once thought it a duty to attend the services of the church to which you and your parents belonged. But then there comes this day, the day of God's salvation, the day when God makes known his purposes toward you, the day when the love of Christ is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, that day of deliverance, that day of release, that day of great conquest, when the Lord appears and makes himself known, when you have an application of the word of God to your souls, and when you can feast upon the fat things and the marrow of the gospel. How good it is, how joyful you now come. You cannot wait for the Lord's day to come, and you're desirous and prayerful that that day may be made a blessing to you. And he goes on to say, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, and make mention that his name is exalted. Up to this point, the psalmist has related, or the prophet has related rather, he is also a psalmist here, what the Lord has done personally, individually, for his people. And each is enabled to relate the experience that they have known and felt. Now, real religion cannot be kept to ourselves. Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. And in that day ye shall say, there will be a public declaration of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, it will be before the saints of God, that you might join in church membership and union with them. What an inestimable favour to be found a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, even here below, for it is a foretaste of the Church of Christ in glory. And in that day ye shall say. And so there will be an open declaration to those who love the Lord of the innermost feelings of your heart, those things which have laid with great weight upon your spirit, those things that you must expound unto others. And so you come before the church and speak of the Lord's dealings with you, and it is to you a confirmation that it is the Lord that has done these great things, because there will be a recognition by the people of the Lord's sovereign work in your hearts. You know, the saints of God can see with much clearer eyes than you might think of your state and condition. They see the change perhaps even before you see it yourselves. They are able to see the movement of the Spirit within your heart, gradually drawing you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you gain that momentum to draw nigh unto him, you also desire to draw nigh unto his people also. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and a book of remembrance was written for those that feared the Lord. To have the confirmation then of those who have perhaps gone before you and ordered their ways before the Lord, that you're not wrong in these things, that they're not just your imagination, but they can see something of the reality of the Spirit in it. And in that day ye shall say, praise the Lord. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And there will be praises upon the earth. How it rejoices the pastor of the church and the members of the church when the Lord works mightily to the pulling down of Satan's strongholds in the heart of some poor sinner, when they're brought to realize the favor of God toward them, the blessing which God brings to bear. Praise the Lord. Praise him for all that he is, and all that he has done, and all that he will do for the sake of his people. Praise him for him himself, for the great majesty which belongs unto him. Think of that time when the Lord Jesus Christ was coming into Jerusalem upon an ass's colt, and how they strew the branches before him and put their coats and cloaks out. And there was a great time of rejoicing because they considered the king was coming into Zion. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ, the antitype of David. And you remember how David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem to set it upon the mound which is upon the rock, which is called Zion, where David's house was built. And the Ark of the Covenant was brought there, and there was great glory. There was a time of rejoicing, a time of feasting, a time of great blessing among the people. And it all redounded to the praise of Almighty God. Can we praise him? Praise him, all ye people. All the ends of the earth, give praise unto him. Can we praise God for what he has done for ourselves? And can we praise him for what he has done in others? There's no jealousy in true Christianity, only a rejoicing that God has made the same truths and mercies known unto another that he has made known unto ourselves. And then call upon his name. Worship is an important part in the life of a true Christian. To call upon his name is every part of public worship. We often think of calling upon the name of the Lord as an act of prayer, where indeed we do call upon his great and holy name. But it's in every part. In the reading of the word, we are calling upon his name. In the singing of the hymns, we are calling upon his name. In the preaching of the gospel, we are invoking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and our great God, the Heavenly Father. Call upon his name, and this will be your delight and your example. Because the Christian should live by example, not only the testimony that he or she brings forth, but the example of their life. Because now it is a changed life, a different life, a life lived in the fear of God and not in the fear of man. And so there is a gracious example to be given unto others. And men and women will take knowledge of us that we have been with Jesus. Declare his doings among the people. We can look back over all history and see the Lord's gracious doings. We mentioned this morning of the children of Israel coming through the Red Sea and rejoicing upon the banks on the other side of the river. But also we might think of the Lord's keeping his people through those 40 years in the wilderness. The wilderness, of course, is a most unsuitable place, naturally speaking, for people to live. We know that there are such as the Bedouins that live in such places, but they eke out a meager existence. And how many who have tried to cross the desert have lost their lives because of lack of provisions or the intense heat which has come upon them, the wild animals, the difficulties, the enemies. And think, Israel was subject to all these things. And yet this great multitude of people, a huge number, crossed for 40 years before they came into the promised land. And how the Lord provided for them. He provided water out of the rock. He provided manna which came down from heaven. He provided the quails. He provided suitable clothing that did not wear out. Their shoes were the same at the end of the journey as they were at the beginning. This really is a miracle. But it's the Lord's doings. And we can think throughout the word of God of the Lord's doings among his people. But what since the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended into glory? Well, we think of the day of Pentecost and the Lord's doings there, where these ignorant fishermen were able to speak in a multitude of languages to be understood by people of all different nations. We think from the few that were there when Christ ascended into heaven, of how they multiplied and were dispersed at first in the region and then at length throughout all the world. We think of times in the history of Europe, especially those what are called dark ages, when people were kept in blind ignorance of the things of God, and how in the dawn of the Reformation the Lord appeared for his people and brought his light to bear. Well, we have the same God upon the throne. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth and ever will reign. And so that same God appears today. And we have testimonies of God's people, of what the Lord has done for them. Every time a person seeks admittance into the Church of Jesus Christ, their testimony is related. It is recorded. If not in church books, it's recorded in heaven. It's made known widely among the people. And it is a joyous time when a person has the courage and fortitude and living faith to be able to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. And again, every time a person is converted, the name of the Lord is exalted. Christ is exalted in the salvation of his people. Men and women come to know that it is the Lord's work. We might think of those who were at enmity against God, whose lives were a wreck, those that were drunkards, those that were heathen. Many examples are given. You can read in many books today of the lives of those who were completely and utterly changed around. I think of one story of a man in the Midlands of England who was a horror to the people of the community in which he lived. He was what we might say a bad lot. His whole life was in seeking to ruin the lives of others. But amazingly, the Lord began to change him. And the turnaround was so great that people were still fearful of him, and yet they could not but recognize that something dramatic and something most blessed had happened to the man. And now he humbly, as it were, crawls into the back of the church to listen to the preaching of the gospel. And it was in the Lord's providence that he should come at a certain time when the minister was preaching Christ and the words were relayed by the Spirit to his soul. And the man was truly converted. And he became an eminent member of the church for many years until the Lord took him to glory. To make mention that his name is exalted. And every time there is one to declare the name of the Lord Jesus, his name is exalted. It's set on high. And how marvelous is that name in all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry, how his fame went abroad. Marvelous were the works of the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things, the wonderful miracles that he performed, the healing of many a soul, the bringing forth from the dead. The lame were able to walk, the deaf were able to hear, the blind were able to see. The demonic loses his demons and is clothed and found in his right mind. Should not these things be published abroad? And if the Lord should work mightily in his church today, there will be a making known of these things. They cannot be held in secrecy. There has to be a publishing abroad. This is known in all the earth. You know, Christianity is known throughout the world. And if we think of Israel and of the Jews, there's no other nation upon the face of this earth that has stood the test of time. You think of the ancient nations. Where is Babylon today? Where is Persia? Where is Rome in all its magnificence at one time? These nations have come and gone. They've been replaced, as it were, by other nations. But the nation of Israel has always stood and still stands today and will stand, I believe, forever. And so it is a representation of the Church of Jesus Christ that it shall stand forever and ever. He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. The Jews were scattered abroad upon persecution, and it was used of God to bring the gospel unto heathen lands. You think of Europe and of Asia, Australasia, Africa, India, and America, how the gospel has been spread abroad. Many attempts have been made by the devil to resist it, to prevent it, to overturn it, and yet it has stood. We think of the time in England when the church ordered that all Bibles should be burned. And they went from house to house to find Bibles. They ransacked people's houses to find Bibles that they might put on a great bonfire, that they might all be burned. And the devil thought that he had gained a great victory. But we have the Bible available to everyone today. In most languages of the world, it is available unto men and women. And there are societies raised up for the promulgation of the gospel, for the setting it forth. And many Bibles are given freely unto people that ask for them. And so the excellent things concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, all that he did whilst he was here upon this earth, and that work which has continued and will continue to the end of time, this is known in all the earth. The earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. We have that blessed saying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. The Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwells among his own people. Christ is known in all her palaces. What a wonder it is that the Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself, and he reveals himself not to kings and princes and governors, but to the poor and lowly, to the meek and humble, to those who are deserving eternal punishment. He makes his truth and mercy known. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Only the Lord's people will promote the things of God. These only have an interest in the great work of God, having experienced it in their own hearts and lives. They are ready to declare unto others, and to cry and to shout is to publish it abroad, not to hide it under a bushel or under a bed, but to declare the greatness of God and of his marvelous work through the generations of time. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He dwells among his own people. There he is to be seen and known. There the people call upon his great and holy name. There they seek his face in prayer. And their great cry is, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Make thy will and purposes known, that I might serve thee abundantly all the days of my life. Cry and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And it shall be at the end of our days that Christ will still be in the midst, and in heaven we shall see him in the midst of the throne, sitting with all authority and all power and all glory, to be worshipped of angels and saints and all the inhabitants of heaven. Shall we be among them? Do we have any glimmer of hope that the Lord has been gracious unto us? Do we have something upon which we can depend? Some word of God upon which he has caused us to hope? Do we have anything to give us any encouragement that we are the Lord's people, that the Lord has done marvelous things for us, wherefore he has made us glad? If not, may we be exercised to cry unto him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, remembering that it was sinners that Jesus came to save, not the righteous. Sinners Jesus came to save. Then whilst there is life, there is hope. But shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The apostle emphatically says, God forbid. No, we must turn from our sins. We must seek grace to be able to turn from our sins and to turn unto our God and to call upon him in this day when he may be found. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. When the Lord appears, praise will fill your hearts and you will magnify his great and holy name. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.